British Airways has suspended flights to Saudi Arabia, citing what they call a credible threat to British aviation, though government officials aren't specific about what the threat is. Earlier this week, Saudi police got into two shootouts with Islamic militants in the Saudi capital Riyadh. Time magazine's Cairo bureau chief Scott McLeod joins us now. He is in Aba, Saudi Arabia. Good to speak with you again, Scott.
Hi, Neil.
Why did the British suspend flights to Saudi Arabia today?
Well, I suspect that they were a little bit worried about deja vu. Back in May, the Saudi authorities broke up a cell, an al-Qaeda cell, that apparently was planning an attack on a group of housing compounds, housing American expatriates in Riyadh. And just after they broke up the cell, remnants of that cell went out and actually carried out the attack, apparently as a last-ditch effort to get on with it before they were all rounded up. So now we have another cell being taken down in Riyadh, and the word that we're getting is that this cell had some British targets in mind. One report says that it in fact was a commercial airliner. So I think if we put two and two together, the British are just being very careful about the possibility that there are remnants of this broken cell out there with the capability to shoot down an airliner and may put that plan into effect before they get caught.
And at least according to the wire service reports that I've been seeing, they thought at least seven people escaped that shootout.
It looks like a number of them have escaped. What we're seeing since the May housing compound bombings is a very much greater determined effort on the part of the Saudis to go after these people. I mean, they've been here for years. There's a very militant, violent subculture in the country that for the most part had laid low, and the Saudis, as we know, who had been involved in terrorism, tended to do this terrorism outside of the kingdom. But the May 12th attack was, the Saudis like to call it their 9/11. It was really their wake-up call, and the Saudi government has taken much more aggressive efforts, and this is leading to the breakup of more cells and really almost a Wild West atmosphere in some parts of Riyadh. And a couple of weeks ago it was Mecca, where you have hours and hours and even days of shootouts as they go after these people.
Yet there is also, in addition to the militants themselves, an ideological, religious, and financial support structure that underlies it all. Are they attacking that as well?
Well, they have been. I mean, I think the jury is still out as to whether they've been doing enough and whether it's been effective enough. But certainly before 9/11, there was a lot of winking and nodding and a lot of looking the other way when Saudis were contributing to violent causes or causes that had violent means. It ought to be remembered that the United States was part of one of those causes back in the 80s when the Saudis and the Americans worked very closely together to raise money and send guerrillas to Afghanistan to fight the Russians who were occupying Afghanistan. So what had happened in Saudi Arabia is a culture of donating to charities or donating to militant groups that may be up to no good in various ways developed in Saudi Arabia. And until 9/11, the Saudi authorities basically just let this happen, didn't audit the books, didn't really check up on these people. And since 9/11, they have uncovered a lot of problems in this, and they are tightening it up. I think depending on who you talk to in Washington, they're doing a great job or they're doing a mediocre job. But definitely there's been a tightening of the screws since September 11th.
Scott McLeod of Time magazine speaking with us from Aba, Saudi Arabia. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And, Scott, over the course of this crackdown, it's over 200 suspects that have been arrested since the May 12th bombings. What do the Saudi people think about all of these arrests and what you're describing is this Wild West atmosphere? That must be unsettling.
It is unsettling. I think that the society is somewhat polarized. I think you have a fairly significant section of the population. I wouldn't hazard a guess, but, you know, anywhere from 1% to 10 or 15% perhaps, who are kind of with these people. I mean, they believe in the jihad. They don't like their own government enough that they don't mind if there's violence against it. It's a significant problem that they're going to have to weed out with hearts and minds work as well as this kind of aggressive police work. But you also have, you know, the silent majority in the country, which is very status quo. They just want to get on with their lives. They want to make money. And this has been unsettling for them. And to some extent, a lot of people have jumped off the fence since the May 12th bombings, the first major terrorist attack that had killed Saudis and attacked Saudis in their own capital. A lot of people who had been willing, even after September 11th, to sort of, you know, blame America or to look the other way, now that it was in downtown Riyadh, people were saying, no, this has got to stop. So to some extent, I think militancy, extremism, bin Laden, Al-Qaeda have taken a bit of a hit in the public opinion of Saudi Arabia since the May 12th bombings.
Let me ask you about the effects of the war in Iraq after the fall of Baghdad. As everyone will remember, it was announced that the U.S. forces, many of them who had been in Saudi Arabia, would be withdrawn. Has that had any effect on opinion about the United States and Saudi Arabia?
Yeah, I think it's been taking, to some extent, taking one of the red flags away from the debate. We hear a lot less about the American presence here, I would say, since that happened than you know, during the long years of the sanctions against Iraq, where, you know, 5,000 or more American troops based in Saudi Arabia were helping to enforce those sanctions and carrying out almost daily strikes, airstrikes in Iraq at various points. And so that has definitely removed a big thorn in the side of the relationship. And it's just not such an issue anymore. The people who don't like America, who really wanted to jump up and down about that, they will still say, well, you know, the kingdom, the government is still very close to the United States. There are still military advisors here. But in terms of a kind of military occupation, as some Saudis like to characterize the previous American military presence, that's sort of died away now.
Let me ask you also a question about pre-9/11. As you know, the recent congressional inquiry into U.S. intelligence failures leading up to 9/11 has a big gap in it about foreign support for the terrorists, and it's widely leaked that it implicates the Saudi government, and the Saudis have formally complained about, hey, we can't respond to charges that aren't published. What's opinion there?
Well, Saudis, I mean, the official reaction is what you'd seen at the time, that the Saudis are hopping mad that this thing has been handled this way. They feel that by deleting this stuff about the Saudis and making this a sort of hot topic, it's changed the debate from actually the substance of the report, which also had many things to say about the American government's role in not preventing 9/11, and switch the discussion to the Saudis again. And they see it as just another sort of tactic that their enemies in Washington have been using to smear the Saudis. And they're particularly upset about it this time because the actual smear is won by innuendo rather than direct, one that they could respond to directly. I think public opinion, which has now become somewhat accustomed to Saudi bashing in the United States, you know, it just sees this as par for the course.
Well, Scott McCloud, thanks very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Scott McCloud is the Cairo bureau chief for Time magazine, and he was on the line with us, a poor line, and we apologize for that, from Aba, Saudi Arabia. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.